as part of arriving and settling in. Feel free to maybe get a sense of just generally, globally, how you are physically and in your inner atmosphere. As if kind of entering or realizing you're in a landscape that you partly find familiar and maybe partly find unfamiliar. As if with fresh eyes and feeling capacity being somewhere and getting a sense of the temperature of the air. The quality of the ground. So in your own landscape of body and inner world arriving. Or kind of waking up to what all is. Some of what all is here. What happens to come to your notice? A texture, feeling of weight somewhere or lightness somewhere. Movement, body or mind. It's not good? Thank you for telling me. How's that? It's okay, maybe. Keep talking. Now it's going in and out still. I hear it going in and out, like sometimes it's losing a word, but I'm not moving away from the microphone because it's right here. Okay. Letting yourself be here. And letting be here. Everything. noticing what most easily takes your attention, and then dropping that. Letting yourself feel what else is also here. Even taking note of what takes your attention most easily or most maybe habitually by habit. A friendly note that helps you know the landscape better by experience. If something in the body takes your attention, so gently feeling whatever that is, surrounding it with softness, offering it a kind of cushiony place to be, and then dropping it, dropping the attention to it, feeling what else, maybe some other place in the body, even for a second. Interrupting our habits. If what takes your attention is something in the mind, if it's thinking with charge, like a judgment, we can kind of arrive there with friendliness, with cushion, and give that mental shape or movement a soft place to be. It's allowed to be. It's part of this ecosystem of yourself. And then dropping it. Letting it be and letting it not be that important after all. Just another bird in the forest. So what? And then, if possible, finding something else that's happening that you can receive. Maybe in your body, or what we call body. Maybe lower down, farther from the head. Maybe in the belly, the seat, or the feet. And or farther back, maybe the back, breathing. How's the sound? Okay, thank you. Noticing how the mind might prepare a map, a picture, words, commentary about the back breathing or the belly being warm or cool. And noticing that way that the mind prepares a version of experience goes on by itself. And please notice that version is not the same as the experience. And we can let the version go on like a newspaper printing itself and then blowing in the wind. Or composting. While, like a flame, this instant's experience is also going on by itself. And a little bit more here, and a little bit more instantaneous. Than the mental version. So please don't fight the mental version. You can let it come and go. And don't let it fool you. That's not all that's going on. Sometimes the map covers the ground, but the ground is still what the map rests on. The actual experience is instantaneous, fresh, uncontrolled, unexpected. Even the experience that sometimes happens when feeling the breath, we may notice some controlling of the breath comes in. But the experience of that, the way those sensations feel, is instantaneous. Feeling for maybe an adventurous spirit in yourself. Exploring the ecosystem of your inner world, inner life. The ground and the form of it, what we call body. And the kind of spirit of the place, the atmosphere. The more subtle forms, like birds flying through. Perhaps even allowing there to be love for this place called oneself, that we didn't make with our own hands. That we find ourselves in the midst of. And even though or when there are voices of hatred and criticism, if they're just two birds among many birds in here, something that dares to feel the care for this living ecosystem. Where there is mental movement, physical movement, energy movement, there is weight, lightness, thought, feeling, sound. Sometimes through ground and weight, we can soften like clay or butter getting a little bit warmed up. What if we are welcome in each our own spot on this earth, by the earth? What if it would be like how much you might enjoy holding a kitten or puppy or whatever? being held and unique for a while on this planet. And all that is going on in the ecosystem of you, distinct but not completely separate from others, allowed to have your inner space, and yet not cut off. Letting your eyes rest, heart rest, bones rest, thoughts rest. Each thing allowed its weight and gravity and welcome. Having hands is not your fault. Having thoughts is not your fault. Having breath is not your special creation. We find ourselves in the midst of all this life, all these forms of life. And being welcome and perhaps even welcoming in the midst of all this can maybe help a slightly different alignment to come about if your body feels to shift a tiny bit or even a big bit, to leave room for love of life, to leave room for there to be pain without pain being all there is, for there to be room for laughter, lightness and heaviness, maybe spreading out a little bit. Room for all this that we do not individually make up or create, but can feel. Can allow. Noticing, by the way, what you stick to, giving that a cushiony place to be and then dropping it, feeling what else is also here. Perhaps another place in the body for a while. And then maybe being aware of your alignment. Or where feels like a good center of gravity. Maybe like the base of a giant tree trunk. Just before things go underground and out of sight. Or somewhere that's juicy for you. If possible, in the body is good because it can be really simple yet alive. And we can notice the mind creating its version of that experience while also experiencing that place. What is it that experiences that place? What is it that allows us to be open to our experience in this place in the body, maybe the lower belly or the back breathing or the seat? Or how the seat breathes. making up attention that we can then pay to this place, but being in a place in your body. Or if the body is hard, maybe sounds. Being the openness that receives the sounds without trying. Noticing the mental version, noticing the mental version is not all there is. And with just a little less investment in the mental version, including no problem about it being there. Like the trail that comes after a boat or a plane. No problem. Of no importance to us for now. If possible, not kind of pushing your head to stay somewhere, but letting your head relax into the gravity and letting the place feel itself, whether it's your lower belly or wherever, letting the sounds be heard by themselves. Please. And allowing the sensations or the sounds to be free, freely themselves and simple. Nothing spectacular is needed. Gradually allowing the sensations or the sounds to be more like something floating on a pretty calm sea or a rough sea, if that's what you feel like. Sea like ocean or lake. And being more like that body of water where those sensations float or where those sounds pass through. Letting them float. You don't need to hold them up. You don't need to take a second look from the other side. Letting them float. In a vast sea. With the little aliveness of each sensation, like a flame, and the great aliveness of the sea. Would anyone like to ask or share anything? I probably wouldn't talk about a theory of karma, but if we think of karma, the literal meaning is action. She's asking about pain and karma, but I think you're a lot asking about how the inner landscape affects the experience of pain, how the thinking, how the attitude interacts with the physical pain. Is that what you mean? Is that part of what you're asking? Mm-hmm. You don't notice much shift of the pain depending on your attitude or approach with your mental. Not as you hoped, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, that's good that you bring up the word hope, because sometimes that gets in the way, depending on. If it's hope, like optimism, openness that something could change, that leaves some room. But when it's like investment and like hope, and I'm kind of, my energy is in the future for when it's going to be better, I'm not really with what I'm calling pain, so it doesn't have a chance to receive the aliveness and possibly shift. So that's tricky. It's tricky not only with physical pain, but with meditation in general. When we have hopes about what our meditation is going to do over there, then later on, we're not really meditating now. And so we trip up. But once we feel that wish, expectation, hope, and we see that it's getting in the way, it's hard to figure out how to soften or laugh or some way to shake it off. So that's common ground, not only with pain. So I wouldn't at all like to comment on a theory of karma, but if we think of the word karma meaning action, and we include mental movement as action, and especially attitude, which would be like where thoughts and physical position might come from or be shaped by. So if I have an attitude toward my pain of hope that is not tension and not about the future, but optimism or openness, like maybe it's okay, or maybe it will be okay even. Or maybe it's not the end of the world if it never changes. Or whatever. How does that go? Or when I hope this ends soon, the closing down, a more closed, if we can say, attitude. Those actions definitely affect in micro and macro ways the not only the physical experience, but the whole ecosystem. But again, it's tricky because we do want the pain to be over. So if we can be honest that we would, and let that be more a compassionate attitude that we would like for anyone to not have pain. That's not a good way to say it, but for anyone we would wish. Well, for so many people we would wish genuinely that there would not be pain. And if people are difficult, other creatures, we would wish for the trees to be well and healthy, for the birds to be without pain. So at least we're not covering up that wish. It doesn't. If the wish for the pain to go away becomes like a secret agenda, I'm pretending that I'm being neutral, and I don't mind, and I'm not manipulating. I'm just observing. But we're actually coming with our manipulativeness in the suitcase. So we're sort of double manipulating ourselves. Then noticing that. Okay. So sometimes giving up is really good. Sometimes playing a thought game of like, okay, what if the pain never goes away? What matters? What is the way that it glues together the fact that pain is unpleasant and it then feels like a punishment or something that makes me lesser in some way? And outside of humanity, those people, they don't know what it's like to have pain all the time. That attitude, that closedness, or an attitude of we all have pain. Actually, who knows why, but we all have pain. That attitude. And how does that go in the ecosystem? Like, what changes? What does the stream change direction a little bit? Like, even a little bit. Or maybe it doesn't change direction, but you can hear the music of it. So compassionate openness, togetherness, we can cultivate that a little bit. It's always tricky because we do want it to go away, but so honesty also. We want it to go away, but then what's the bigger honesty is we don't know why there's pain. I mean, I don't know why there's pain. And to come up against that there is pain can be a helpful, like, knocking us out of the head as the guide. Like, I don't know. Maybe someone knows, but I really don't know why there's pain. Or why is probably not even the word to use there. It's mind-blowing. And that can be beneficial if we accept that it's actually mind-blowing. It confounds, like it messes up the way that we might be up here thinking things should go. That we should be in control, that the pain, I should find the skills and the strength and the calm and the sweetness and whatever to make it go away or to not care about it or whatever. So when it doesn't work, if that can be helpful for like, I don't know what this is, but as a starting point, not as a failure. It like, then sometimes the difficulties are what really put us in touch with reality as a beginning. Like, I was just mending my sweater, started to come apart. It would be like the sweater of how we think it should go could start to come apart. And that's not a failure. It's getting in touch with that the nature of reality is not the thing. It's like what's left when we let it come apart. And it's not to say, oh, good, pain, that'll help me know reality. Still, it's not that simplistic either. But we can find ourselves more in touch with reality sometimes when there's something that we want it to go away and it doesn't. Accepting there might be some ways of influencing, but it's not a measurement of you. It's not a measurement of someone else if they got those tools together and their pain went away with a single out-breath or whatever, you know. It doesn't mean that they're up here and you're behind. So if the idea of karma helps us to accept the uniqueness of each ecosystem, each one of us, and sometimes what's complicated is more noticeable, it's more visible, it's more on the surface. Someone may be complicated interpersonally, or they might be complicated in their body or whatever, but it's not just because it's more visible. It doesn't put them behind or ahead. And so letting, when we get the mind blowing, like, why? Or any other question word about the pain. To be in the midst of all of this, honestly. As honestly as we can in that day. We don't know why the pain. And we know that there are factors and causes that shape us in certain ways. And we know that those, some of them are in our hands, even if we don't know how to steer that horse or whatever. And a lot of it is not. And yet it's all so highly sensitive, not only we, like the whole way that each of our ecosystems is together with all the other ones, including the past and maybe even the future. So sometimes when there's pain, the mind wants to do blame or shame. And so we can practice letting that off somehow. That could be through activity, like doing, you know, getting moving somehow, like what fits you. Or being outside, you know, finding the ways that help. When you notice, like that can be the flag, like, oh, here's that, there's the shame, blame flag. Maybe if someone is scuba diving, their oxygen is getting low. Time to start going up slowly before, you know, not waiting till the end. And let it open us that we don't know. And it's not a bad thing to realize, because we really can't know with thinking what reality is. So it's a really good starting point to get thrown back to we don't know. And then sometimes it is true that in don't know, isn't it? Like something, an inspiration comes out of nowhere that's not a technique you learned from somebody else, but it helps in that moment. And it might not help the next time, or it might help the next time. And it might be the end of it, and it probably won't be the end of it. But it's kind of, we start to get into the creativity of that, like the openness, whether it's through giving up or whether it's through hope, that's an openness but not a tension towards the future, but like, we don't know, so maybe the pain's gone tomorrow forever. So also honesty when, of course, thinking goes to, oh no, this is going to be like this forever, whether subtly or loudly. Dropping that for sure, that doesn't help, you know. But that's a small thing we can do. We know we don't know that that's true. It might be true, but we don't know. So taking off that train track into the distance forever. Or also in that place of receptivity where something might come fresh, there might come, you remember someone said one time, whatever, putting a kind hand on your own shoulder, you know, whatever it is. So we start to get into the aliveness feeling in that receptivity, that kindness, creativity, intelligence happens in. And then any pain, whether physical, emotional, etc., like, is much less important. It's not unimportant, but it's much less important in the goodness of that receptivity space where life comes through kindly and with intelligence. And sometimes we also get the bonus of, like, that worked, you know, somehow. So maybe to repeat, the main thing would be, like, careful about taking it as a measurement of yourself or a statement about anything of your value or your progress or anything like that. And, you know, letting life compassion be present. So isn't it like when there's pain, sometimes even if the pain doesn't change, but we're not alone in it, like life cares. Life would love to alleviate that. Did I answer the question? Or, yeah, a bit, okay. So, Adilaji will give a little bit walking instructions, briefly, before the first official walking session, and we'll also be offering one-to-ones during this time. I think you may have seen on the board where we'll be. If not, it's good to get in the practice of checking the board, because that's the way we'll mainly communicate to you these kind of practical things. And that will be each day at this time. And please come, if you would like to meet us today, please come at the beginning of the time to put your name on the paper so we know how many people were fitting in. Okay, is it clear enough?
as a meditatia balicha, שיש לנו ככה בסירוגין בין התרגול שאנחנו עושים כאן בישיבה ושכיבה. אז זו דרך קצת אחרת, ובעיקר אולי הכי הייתי רוצה להגיד שכמו שיש המון עידוד כאן לפתיחות ולסקרנות ולמצוא את הדרך להביא אולי איזושהי סקרנות, פתיחות, מתיקות אפילו חדשה לתרגול. לא בהכרח מתיקות, לפעמים זה מגיע. אז, אבל הייתי רוצה להגיד למדיטציה בהליכה, שנשאל את עצמנו מה זה יכול להיות. שלא נוותר על זה, שלא נעשה מזה הזמנה רק לקוס קפה או לשבת על הדשא, למרות שאולי יש גם פרקי זמן כאלה, אבל שנמצא את הדרך שהגוף הזה שהולך יכול להיות לנו עם משמעות ועם איזה רצף של משמעות, וזה יכול להיות דברים שונים. אז דבר אחד יכול להיות, והרבה פעמים מי שכבר היה כאן, שזה אולי כולם, מכירים את לצמצם את הטווח, לקחת כמה מטרים, ואותם כמה מטרים בדשא או בסלול או בשמש או בצל או בפנים, להאיט את ההליכה. אבל הדבר הזה הוא אפשרי, אבל הוא לא הכרחי, אבל הוא כן מעודד את האפשרות שלנו, נניח להרגיש את מעברי המשקל, שזה דבר שאני חושבת שאני שמה עליו דגש ביוגה, אבל אולי לא בהכרח. אבל ממש להרגיש איך המשקל עובר מרגל לרגל, המגע של כף הרגל באדמה. ואפשר להשהות כל מיני דברים, כמו שבשכיבה או פתאום יש זום אין לאיזו תחושה, אז זה בסדר, זאת אומרת, אין איזה משהו מאחור שאומר לך, כאילו לכי, תמשיכי. כאילו אפשר באמת להתעקר, רגע, משהו מעניין בברך, בקרסול, או אולי זה פה, אולי זה פה, רגע, איך אני הולכת בעצם? מה קורה? אפשר ממש להעיט את זה לא כדי להבין, כדי להתחבר לתחושות או לתחושות הדומיננטיות או לתחושות שהן הכי פחות דומיננטיות. פתאום בוא נרגיש את השמיים מעל הראש או את החלל מאחוריי, או נעצר מדי פעם ושזה יהיה מדיטציה בעמידה בעצם. והזמנה לדעת שזה לא רק הגוף, שאנחנו לא סתם בחוץ, ושיש עלים ועננים ושמיים וצבעים ופרחים ודמויות אחרות, ושאפשר לתת לכל המידע הזה וכל ההשתנות הזאת וכל היופי הזה להיכנס דרך החושים, הצלילים, הריחות, המראות. וכל פעם לראות מה חי כרגע בדבר הזה. לא כאילו, לא איך להיות באיזה תלם ולעשות נכון את הדבר, אלא מה חי, מה אפשר לפגוש. ואז לאיזה כיוון הלב, או כמו שג'י אומרת, איפה יש חיוניות, או מה חי, או מה מעניין. כי זה לא בהכרח חייב להיות החלק הכבד של התרגול. ואולי יהיה בזה גם כובד, כי אנחנו לא לגמרי בשליטה בדבר הזה. מה עוד? כן, תרגישו בין הקצוות האלה, שלא לוותר על זה, כי זה תרגול חזק ומשמעותי במיוחד בריטריט, וזה מעברר ונותן המשכיות מאוד מאוד משמעותית למה שקורה כאן, וגם איך למצוא את ההתחדשות, את הרצף, את מה שמעניין, וזה יכול להשתנות ולהיות קצת אחר, והמיקום והקצב והאורך והטווח יכול להשתנות. וגם אנחנו מכירים את עצמנו, כאילו אנחנו אולי מכורים לגיוון, אז אולי כדאי כן לזה, או ההפך, זאת אומרת, לשחק עם האפשרות לא להיות בתלם של עצמנו בתוך התרגול הזה. שיהיה תרגול טוב.